The Odds Couple. Everything you need to know about the world of sports betting from two guys who know a good bet when they see one. And who've seen a few of those good bets go bad. Felix Unger and Oscar Madison were the Odd Couple, but North and DeFalco are the Odds Couple. Can two gambling men share a studio without driving each other crazy? You bet. The Odds Couple, only on ESPN 1000, Chicago Sports Talk, and Chicago Sports Betting Leader.
Welcome to the weekend, ladies and gentlemen. It's time to talk sports and sports gambling with the legendary Mike North. I'm Carmen DeFalco, and we form the Odds Couple. We do it for you each and every Friday night on a little bit later tonight after the Notre Dame basketball tilt. Don't forget to catch the Encore replay Saturday morning, tomorrow, and every Saturday from 8 until 9. Normally, we're with you from 6 to 7 each and every Friday night talking about the wonderful world of sports wagering. And we're going to try to make some money for everybody. Pretty decent weekend last weekend. Mike and I still picking, what, about 64% or so on the year, Mike? We'll take that to the bank, right?
Well, despite what I did last week, you know, I talked about days, and it's good to talk to you, Carm. I talked about certain days you win, certain days you lose. I had a blank day. You end up 2-0. You go 2-3. We're 31-23. Are you kidding me? I mean, I'm looking at handicappers in this town. I'm looking at the newspapers, and I see everybody's catching a beating. We're above water. I'm 18-16. You're 13-7. You know what? I had what? I felt like the 69 Cubs, late July 1969. Now I'm going to turn things around. I made my adjustments. I'll tell everybody what it is with my picks a little bit later on.
Yeah, we're going to give our best plays before we're done about an hour from now. Stick around for those. We got our buddy Jim Miller with some ponies a little bit later on.
Jimmy!
Yeah, Jimmy, our man over at Hawthorne. He will join us in about 40 minutes or so. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the program as we take you through the NFL, the college slate, all kinds of fun stuff getting you set for the weekend. What do you know? The Bears won a game and covered, first time in a while. Bears got the 7-point win against the Lions last week, and now they are about a 6.5, 7-point underdog for the Sunday night football tilt in L.A., a matchup of what was a terrific defensive battle last year, a statement game that the Bears made on that cold night late in the year last year at Soldier Field. They're probably going to have to rely on their defense again. Both these offenses have struggled mightily, Mike, and the total in the game reflects that. I don't think anybody trusts the Bears or the Rams offenses right now.
No doubt about it, and I'm just going to go by what you told me a few weeks back, and Yurko going from the cold climate to the warm climate on the national spotlight, if you will. The Chicago Bears, we don't know what we have. I think the Rams are a shock to everybody, what's happened to them. If I had to lean, I got to be honest with everybody. You have to lean Rams. I mean, the Bears finally covered last week. Maybe the upturn's there, but we still don't have an Akeem Hicks. We still are missing some players. And Montgomery's iffy at running back. So this is a problem.
Yeah, Montgomery rolled up an ankle. Trey Burton has missed practice again most of the week. Not that he's been much of a factor anyway. I think that it's unfortunate that he just can't seem to dodge all the injuries. So offensively, it could be a struggle on both sides. I mean, the Rams are so beat to hell, it's amazing. They've lost another lineman. They're down three offensive linemen. They've got injuries all over that offense, and it's really reflected in sort of the precipitous drop they've had from where they were as an offensive team last year, the last couple of years under Sean McVay. I mean, the total in this game is 40. It's the second lowest total on the board in the NFL weekend, and it's the Rams. I mean, when the season started, there's no way you could have envisioned both these offenses struggling the way that they have. I tend to like the Bears a little bit better in these spots where they are an underdog. I won't be playing the game. If you forced me to pick a side, I think I would take the points here, but there's just not enough I like about this game. I don't like the total either. I'm going to stay away from everything Sunday night. Just sit back, relax, watch it, and hopefully see the Bears win. The loser of this game, for all intents and purposes, takes themselves out of playoff consideration in the NFC. And I don't know that either team's going to go. I don't think the Bears are going to go, but whoever loses this game, Mike, you can forget about it in the NFC for the rest of the year.
If I told you you had to take a money line, what team you taking?
The Rams.
That's exactly right. You know what? If I don't know what the money line is. I can look it up real quick here, but I'll tell you this
Rams
right
are
now.
Minus 275.
That's not a lot of money to win 100. for a team, but then they're playing a team like the Chicago Bears. Here's another thing I'm looking at. You know, they're both struggling. They both look horrible. Last week, the Rams, we were told by everybody, they're playing late in the afternoon, they're coming off a bye, yeah. And then I watched them, and it looked like they had played 4 weeks in a row, and with no time off, and they had played hopscotching all over the country. So I would tend to say money line, take the Rams if you're going to do something, because you never know what's going to happen with the points. But then again, why are the Bears getting six? They're both struggling teams,
yeah.
Right? Six is a lot.
The Rams offense scored 3 points in that game in Pittsburgh that you were talking about last week. 3 points. That's how bad the offense is.
And they're being
right
adjusted
now.
To. Do you agree that some people are saying the Rams and the Bears offenses have been adjusted to?
Absolutely. And I think that there's a notion out there that the Bears gave the league a little bit of a blueprint last year in the way they handled the Rams in that game.
Mm-hmm.
So you can even go back the week before when they, maybe it was 2 weeks before last year when the Rams played Matt Patricia. And the Lions did well against them, and a lot of people think Fangio kind of took some of those concepts, but there's the famous video from early in the Super Bowl when Sean McVay picked up on NFL Films when you hear him say after the first series, he says to the guys up in the booth, you know, he knows what he's looking at. He said, that was quarters defense, wasn't it? He goes, they're taking that from the Bears. So a lot of people think that the blueprint's out there. Same thing with the Bears. You're right, that Matt Nagy's offense has been figured out. That Mitch hasn't progressed, that the gimmicky stuff just isn't working anymore because teams are wise to it.
Well, the line of the week last week was Dan Fouts saying, why are you holding the card in front of your face, Matt Nagy? You're not fooling anybody. They had 25 total yards at the time, and this guy's looking at the menu. He's looking like he's going to order the Western omelet from Denny's. He's got the card in front of his face. I mean, I hold a menu. I go to Sal's Pizzeria out here in Huntley. I hold my menu the same way. And if I'm talking to the waitress, she can't hear me. She can't hear me, so I got to bring it down. That was the line of the week.
That
what are you doing
good.
With the card? You could tell them what you're doing. It doesn't matter anymore. Lombardi was the best. He would tell people, we got 5 plays. Doug Buffon told me this. He said, the linemen, Force Greg and these guys would tell the Bears, we're running the sweep to the right side. We're running the sweep, and they gained 7 yards.
And it didn't matter.
It didn't. You know, they told them they went out partying on Saturday night. They'd hang out downtown, the Bears and the Packers.
That's
the
hilarious.
Next day, Paul Hornung tells Buffon, we're going to come to your side quite often today. And they would, and there's nothing you can do because you didn't have the talent.
That is so funny. The dogs barking this year in the NFL. They were barking last week. How about the underdogs? Last week, Mike, went 9-3-1 against the number with 8 outright wins. That's not even to mention what happened to the college game last weekend where LSU, Minnesota, Illinois, Vatek all won outright. Huge weekend for the dogs. Something like that happened in back-to-back weekends? I don't know. But, I mean, it's been crazy, right?
Well, they got their money back because here's what I knew. Once there were all those upsets, I said, you know what? Monday, I'm dead. And I had the San Francisco 49ers on this show. And I'm going to tell everybody this right now. I would take them again. Okay, next time they play him, I want everybody to remember this. Emmanuel Sanders hopefully won't get hurt after the first quarter.
Right.
Because even with Robbie Gould out and with the Kittle, the guy from Iowa, the tight end, even with those two guys out, they were winning 10-0. But when Sanders went out, and I said this on Accountability Tuesday on my videos for Vegas Scores and Odds. I said, you want, and for the Bears Barroom and for AM 1000. I said, you want to know something? I had a handicapper tell me two things. Number one, you can't play for him. And number two, you can't predict injuries. And when Sanders went down, I knew I was finished.
Yeah, it's a good point. And if you wonder if Robbie Gould was healthy, maybe he makes that kick at the end of the game and they win that game anyway. Now, that wouldn't have covered. That would have been a field goal. But still, I mean, you know, San Fran could have won that game. The injury certainly. That was the game of the year, by the way, so far. That was a fantastic game Monday night.
Was it really, though, Karen? Because
I loved
there were so
it.
Many fumbles.
Well, was it a perfect game?
You weren't
was
walking down Highway 47 in a black outfit hoping somebody would strike you.
That's true.
Okay.
Now, it wasn't the cleanest game, but I thought it was an entertaining game. Maybe that's the best way to put it. It was probably the
Agreed.
Most entertaining game of the year.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, but what I saw was some sloppy football.
Yeah.
Garoppolo was horrible. I thought he was horrible. You know what? As for being advertised, and you know what? Seattle's just, I mean, Russell Wilson is just so damn good.
And he threw a bad pick in overtime. I mean, he's been great, but he threw a bad pick. You're right, but it was just entertaining. Boy, if they're all like that on Monday night, it'd be a treat. All right, when we come back, we're going to start working our way through the rest of the NFL schedule for week number 11 with the craziness last night in Cleveland with the Browns getting the win against the Steelers and then the subsequent fight at the end and all that. So we're off and running in week 11. We'll start going through the board. Lots of interesting games to talk about. Some big marquee games with the Texans and the Ravens, Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson. You got a rematch of the Super Bowl a couple years ago at the Link in Philly this weekend, one of the late afternoon kicks on Sunday, which should be a great one with the Eagles playing host to the Patriots. Some college action to talk about. Lots to do. Mike and I will have our best plays a little bit later on, so stick around for that. We're working our way through the board. Let's do it, everybody. We're talking sports gambling. It's the Odds Couple on ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com.
Mike North, Carmen DeFalco. Each Chicago sports talk stars. ESPN 1000 pairs them up for the Odds Couple.
Welcome back inside the Odds Couple each and every Friday night after Waddle and Sylvie 6 to 7 here on ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com. We're on a little later tonight. We had Notre Dame basketball. Don't forget to catch the special encore replay tomorrow morning and every Saturday morning, 8 to 9, between Tom Morgan and Murph and Fred. Follow us on Twitter. Mike is at North to North. That's the number two in there. I'm at Carmen DeFalco. We talked Bears and Rams in the opening segment. We talked about all the underdogs and all the success last weekend from the dogs in the NFL and in the college game. And as we start going through the slate, we mentioned going into break there, Mike, that Thursday, week 11 kicked off with Thursday Night Football last night. For the first time in forever, the Browns as a favorite actually win inside the division as they beat the Steelers. The story is really what happened, the aftermath at the end of the game and Myles Garrett stuff. We know that as the day has progressed here that he is at least suspended for the rest of the regular season and the playoffs. He's suspended indefinitely. Also, the defensive tackle, I never say Ogunjobi's name right. I think that's about as close as I get to getting it right. He's been suspended one game. Adam Schefter had that news earlier today. Marquise Pouncey suspended three games. And the Steelers and the Browns organizations have each been fined $250,000. So the league acting pretty swiftly here after the ugliness last night.
Yeah, and, you know, the numbskulls there is trying to state a case that it, if you run up to somebody, I mean, I'm just glad Myles Garrett didn't have a gun, because I'm hearing if you run up to somebody now and you front them, that you can be assaulted. And I find it amazing in this day and age that a few years ago, somebody tried to play the race card today, too, saying, what would happen if the quarterback would have been black and it would have been J.J. Watt or something? Are you kidding me?
Yeah,
Richie Incognito got 3 months suspension for bullying a black player. 3 months suspension. So you know, when that type of thing happens, this was going to be worse. I knew he was going to be suspended. I was on Twitter today saying there's no excuse. And you know what every NFL player fears? You can have an altercation, Carmen, but if somebody rips off your helmet, you understand it. It happens. It happens in scrimmages and everything else. You don't expect to get hit over the head with a blunt object.
Yeah, that's very true. And I'm not so sure about legal action and stuff like that. I know Mason Rudolph's representatives have sort of left that out there. At least they did earlier today. But the league, you knew, was going to come down pretty swift. It's just not something that can happen. I get it. Myles Garrett is fired up. He's upset. Mason Rudolph was certainly sort of instigating some of that. He's not without blame. But you, like Mike said, you can't ever anticipate once that helmet does come off that a player in this league is going to swing it at your head and hit you in the head with it.
Well, you know what I'm hearing? I heard Kyle Long's was worse, but you can't find a video. There was a division in the locker room because it had happened under John Fox with Kyle Long, with both offensive and defensive players at that time. And then Kyle Long went off on a rookie, and I see Akeem Hicks going, if you don't want to get hit over the head, don't front somebody. So I guess, basically Akeem Hicks basically went along with what Kyle Long did, except the Bears didn't. And it ended up costing him eventually his job because temperament. It's important. Kyle Long lost his temperament the same way, only it was against his own team.
Yeah, just can't do it. So that's the big story right now going into the NFL weekend. That'll continue to be a story all weekend long, I'm sure.
As far as I abhor violence. I abhor violence. You know that.
Especially stuff like that. It just can't happen. It's an ugly look for the league.
Nope.
You know, I mean, it just is. And Pouncey's kicking him on the ground. Like, it's all bad. I mean, all of it. You know,
Can I tell you something, Carmen?
Yeah.
If somebody did that to you, and you know what, we tried to break it up, but we saw what he did to you, and then we got you on, got that guy in the ground, I'd do the same
you
damn
kick
thing.
Kick him in the head?
Pouncey. Well, you do what you got to do. Pouncey was, you know, protecting this guy, man.
I know, and I get his quarterback, but it's just
and he's going to get punished for it. He's going to get
punished
for it.
Yeah, he is. You're right. It's just such a bad look. This is not the kind of stuff the league needs. So they're acting swiftly, and good for them on that. So let's start moving through the rest of the slate. You got the Vikings.
I love it.
Vikings hosting Vic Fangio and the Broncos this weekend, Mike. Minnesota laying a pretty big number, laying 10. You know I love Mike Zimmer in this spot, though. 11-1 in his career before the bye. The Vikings go into the bye after this. At home, in games outside of the division in his career, Mike Zimmer is 24-6-1 against the number. The Vikings are a perfect 4-0 at home this year. They're averaging nearly 30 points per game at home. They're a plus 64 in differential at home. The only reason I'm not giving this out as one of my best plays is because it's a double-digit number, and in the NFL, sometimes that can be dangerous. But I'm leaning heavily on the Vikings this weekend.
Yeah, and you know what? I mean, if you wanted to, too, I mean, I think that people think that Denver's offense, of course, because of the second-string quarterback, the Flacco situation, you got a brand-new coach. I think a lot of people might want to take the under in this one, even though Minnesota's scoring 30 points. I mean, you can win 30-10.
Yeah.
You know, I think, Carmen, you're right on the dot leaning if you wanted to Minnesota, and I might lean if I was going to do it with the over in this game.
All right, like it. Saints travel to Tampa. The Bucs getting 5.5. If you've been betting the Bucs recently, you are burning money. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have failed to cover now in 5 straight. I got burned by them a couple times. Luckily, I wasn't on them last week. Jameis is just a turnover machine. I mean, that's basically what a lot of this comes down to, what a lot of the issues are. They did squeak out that win last week straight up, but they failed to cover. Bucs cut a former first-round pick of theirs this week, too, to maybe send a little message. Bruce Arians wasn't happy with Vernon Hargraves, so they put him on waivers, and he was claimed by the Texans. But maybe that gets them going a little bit. It'll be interesting to see how the Saints, I guess, bounce back. That's the kind of the question as they go on the road after losing as a huge favorite at home last weekend, Mike.
You know what? Everybody's had a stinker this year.
Yeah.
You know, Green Bay had the stinker at L.A.
Yep.
New England had a stinker. So, you know what? I just look at that as a stinker, if you will. But you know what? New Orleans against Tampa Bay, you'd be insane to try to predict what's going to happen here, especially since Breeze is still trying to round out the form since he's come back. You know what? The 49.5 seems very inviting.
It does.
But for who? The over or the under? I would stay away from this game. This is such a stay-away game. Like I say every week, there's plenty of games we could take. We don't have to take this one.
Yeah, stay-away game for me, too. Well, we did sort of give the stat to everybody last week that there was not a good spot going into the Atlanta game for the Saints, and we gave some strong numbers on how poor they've been as such a heavy favorite in the division at home, surprisingly, with Peyton and Breeze. So hopefully everybody listened to that advice and cashed a ticket there. I'm not saying that anybody would have had Atlanta on the money line, but we certainly liked Atlanta getting the points last week. One of the big games this weekend is the Texans at the Ravens. Baltimore at home laying 4. It's Lamar Jackson versus Deshaun Watson. A couple of guys in the MVP conversation, right, Mike? And look, the Texans have one of the stingiest rush defenses in the league, and they're going to have to hope that they can really slow down Lamar Jackson and that vaunted rushing attack. If they can do that, I think this will be a close game. And I kind of like, I don't know that I'm going to be betting this game, but if you made me pick a side, I kind of like the Texans getting over a field goal here.
Real quick, give me the score you think it's going to be.
Oh, gosh.
Real quick.
I'll say it's going to be 24-21.
24-21. So you would take the under 51.5.
I would.
Right? With that one, I think that you're on the dime with that one. I think when you think Lamar Jackson, when you think my guy Deshaun Watson, I mean, you start thinking of points. You think J.J. Watt's out. You think that there's other things. And Harbaugh's done such a great job with this quarterback because he's come such a long way, and he's such a good kid, and there's two quality quarterbacks. It's a shame somebody's got to lose. I don't know. I have a pick in this game, but I would say this. Most of the public would probably take the over in this game, so be leery.
All right. Can you believe 51.5 for the Texans and the Ravens, man? I mean, both teams can really move the ball and score. They do it in different ways, but Lamar Jackson, like Mike said, is just so much fun to watch. Seems like he's got a good head on his shoulders.
But can I just concentrate? Yeah, but Carm, I just want to say this, and I even heard Mike Golic say this. Okay, I was watching them, and he says, you know, everybody was saying that this guy's one of a kind, and there's never been anybody like him. I would just encourage everybody at home, go watch the half-hour tape of Randall Cunningham. He's the same player. In fact, he did more than Jackson. The reason I say that is this guy ran wild on the National Football League when he was absolutely told not to.
Right.
Now, if he came into the league now, he'd be the same way. Yeah. This guy also had a 91-yard punt. I just want people... I want people that know the game to try to explain to the rest of the people that every time you see a great player, there was players like him before. Yeah. That's all I'm saying, and that was Randall Cunningham.
Yep. How about, it's a good point, how about Jags and Colts, both teams getting quarterbacks back, Indy at home laying three here, Jacoby Brissett looks like he's good to go, of course, coming out of the bye, the Jaguars are going back to Nick Foles, the Colts are right there, eyeing a playoff berth, they're currently in the seventh position in the AFC, so home game against the division, this is a pretty important one for them. I will say, though, the Colts have struggled in this rivalry as of late. Indy's actually dropped 3 of 4 and 5 of the last 7 against the Jaguars. But I think it's a bigger game for the Colts this weekend.
I do. I agree with you, too. Once again, this is a game that if you're going to lean, it's not one of my picks. It was on the outskirts. I'd have to lean to Indianapolis.
Yeah, me
Indianapolis
too.
Still is a good club. I think that, you know, they've had some issues, some injury issues and stuff like that. But so does Jacksonville. How, you know, is Nick Foles going to do well? They're playing on a carpet out there. They're not playing in the heat. So, you know what? I'd have to lean Indy.
All right, we got more games coming up. We got some college games to talk about in a little bit. Our best plays. Before we're out of here at the top of the hour, so stick around. We are moving along. We got our buddy Jim Miller from Hawthorne.
Jimmy!
The Galloping Gents. He'll give us some ponies in just a little bit. So don't go anywhere. We got more to do. We're talking sports and sports gambling with Mike North. I'm Carmen DeFalco on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
The Odds Couple. Everything you need to know about the world of sports betting from two guys who've beaten the spread often. Mike North, Carmen DeFalco, only on ESPN 1000.
Welcome back inside the Odds Couple. Each and every Friday, Mike North, Carmen DeFalco, we're with you going through the NFL and college slate. Don't forget to catch the Encore replay tomorrow morning, every Saturday morning, from 8 until 9. Couple more NFL games here, Mike, that I want to ask you about, and then we'll segue into some college. It's going to be hard to top last weekend of the college game, but a couple of interesting ones on the slate, to say the least. We teased this a little earlier. You got the Super Bowl rematch from a couple of years ago, the Patriots and the Eagles at the link. New England is the favorite going into Philly. The 325 kick laying 3.5 points. I'll just tell everybody this to start things off. The Eagles at home under Doug Peterson are 21-7 straight up and a perfect 7-0 versus the AFC, and they're getting a little bit more than a field goal this weekend. And they're coming out of the bye, so some extra time to prepare. What do you think of Eagles and Pats this weekend?
Well, I tell you, I mean, it's hard to not bet Tom Brady, and you brought up the stats at home against AFC. How many of those are against New England? Not that, you know, New England can't lose on the road. We've seen them lose at Miami and other places, you know, and look sloppy. I think that they miss Gronkowski. You know what? This is a game I'd stay away from, but if I was going to lean, I'd lean with the points probably. If not knowing anything, just knowing the two teams and knowing what they've gone through. I mean, sooner or later, isn't the Gronkowski thing going to catch up? Sooner or later, isn't a loss of that kind of player as you get closer to the playoffs maybe going to hurt you?
It might.
That used to be Brady's main guy.
Yeah, that's sort of, you're right. I mean, it might. I'm with you, too. If I was going to have a play in this game, I would be leaning towards the points. The injury concern, I think, is a little bit real for the Eagles. You know, I know Mike's a big Jordan Howard fan. Jordan Howard has missed some practice time, even though he's had an extra week off. He busted up that shoulder against the Bears. Darren Sproles is a little nicked up. I guess there was even some rumors earlier today that Jay Ajayi was back in the building and that for the first time in a year, he might see some action. I don't know. So something to maybe track a little bit, or they just might have to lean on Miles Sanders, the rookie, a lot. But if anything here, I'm with Mike. I'd lean towards taking the points in that game. Should be a fun game on Sunday afternoon.
Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing that Jordan Howard hasn't missed a game, though? He does miss practice, but do you know the last 2 years – he didn't miss but one game with the Chicago Bears, right?
He's tough. I mean, he is. I'll give him that. There's no. He's had shoulder issues. He had them when he was here, and he gritted his way through it. I mean, I'll give him credit for that. He's not soft.
You
he's
don't
a tough
like
guy.
Him, Carm.
It's not that I don't like him. It's not that I don't like
him. There's been some tension with us because I treat him like a brother of mine. You treat him like a distant cousin. I understand that.
I would say that. Running backs, to me, are distant cousins. They are a dime a dozen in this league. Unless maybe got Saquon or Zeke. I mean, even Saquon had a miserable game last week. To me, they are just a dime a dozen.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
He rolled his ankle, Montgomery.
Yeah.
Howard played with the rolled ankle last year.
Oh, I think Montgomery will play. I think Montgomery will play.
I hope to God he does. I hope he does. But Nagy was noncommittal.
I know.
Nagy was noncommittal. Like, here he goes again. We're going to try to fool him. You're not fooling anybody. They don't care if he plays or not. That's right.
But I'm with you. Jordan Howard is tough. There's no doubt about that. So that should be a fun game Sunday afternoon. Let's look at some of the college games. There are some interesting things in the Big Ten. I joked earlier this week that if you're in the Big Ten and you're at home playing against a conference opponent and you're getting 52 points, they should throw your ass out of the conference. That is an absolute joke. Rutgers is hosting Ohio State, and the Buckeyes are laying 52, 52 and a half. The guy that's going to be the number one pick in the draft isn't even playing in the game. Like, they should throw Rutgers out.
They used to say the same thing about Northwestern, but it wasn't this bad. And if you're Greg Schiano, who once coached at Rutgers, and you want to get back, I heard he went through the interview process. Before you basically go for a second interview, look at that line. Look at that line, and Carmen says... I mean, really, I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, you know what? The last time they won, James Gandolfini was still walking the earth, okay? And he's a Rutgers alum. So that's all I'm going to tell you. So, I mean, you know, well, it's not my fault. The guy over 80, it's imagina. I'm just saying, you're traveling the world. Sooner or later, things are going to catch up to you. Believe me, I know this. You got to take a rest once in a while. Rutgers, basically... is like, you're right. They would lose to some Division II schools.
Terrible.
That's what I'm going to tell you.
And then one of the schools that might actually be worse than Rutgers is UMass. And wouldn't you know it, Northwestern is hosting UMass. Now I get a kick out of this line. The Wildcats have the worst offense in college football. They haven't scored 40 points in their last five games. They're laying 40. I mean, like, it's absolutely crazy. These two teams are a combined 2-17. I mean, it's miserable. The Cats are 2-7 against the number. UMass is 1-9. I mean, why even bet it? You'd be out of your mind. But I get a kick out of that. They haven't scored 40 in five games, and now they're expected to cover a 40-point spread.
Well, can I tell you just something here? And I got to tell you, Northwestern, their sports situation right now, where it was looking up a few years back, and they have, the beautiful facility. Look, Jimmy Phillips has done a fantastic job there. The one thing they don't do, and I told you, I've said this to Jimmy because Jimmy grew up in Portage Park. They don't draw. I mean, when you can't sell out against Notre Dame, basically, and when you have that type of problem, now look how of the team that you got. I'm hoping they bounce back. I always, and you do too, we root for Northwestern.
Always.
But I had a priest once tell me, a priest, he goes, you know what? If you live north of Howard Street, you don't go to Northwestern games. And they got to start expanding their base because, man, when you can't fill the stadium like they couldn't last year against even Notre Dame, that's an issue.
That's true. How about Penn State hosting Indiana? Nittany Lions laying 14.
I didn't overwhelm you with that little stat, did I? Didn't overwhelm you.
No.
With that beautiful thing.
But I liked it. I like what the priest said.
You liked it. I understand.
Penn State hosting Indiana. Nittany Lions laying 14.5. This is one of those dreaded 11 o'clock games, Mike.
Oh,
boy.
Come on.
How does Penn State respond after that tough loss last week? Tom Allen and the Hoosiers, look, they're bowl bound. They got 7 wins. He's going to be in the conversation for Big Ten Coach of the Year. Indiana's played pretty well this year.
Can you do you remember the movie Big?
Yes.
You know, with Tom Hanks?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that happened to me this past Saturday. I went to Volcar about 5 years ago on the boardwalk, and he said, one day you will take the number one ranked team in the country and take the number four ranked team in the country, and you will lose. Do you know all my clothes are too big for me now? I took Penn State and Alabama. Who picks those two teams and loses them both? I couldn't believe it. Could you? The upsets that came on.
It was
the
crazy
one game
last
I
week.
Was happy about was Minnesota. I was happy for Minnesota. okay? But they might crap the bed, if you know what I mean, with Iowa. Did you see the spread in that game?
That's going to be one of my plays later, so we'll talk about that.
Oh, baby. Yeah. Oh, man. You got yourself a haircut. You're getting ready to go, baby. Yeah.
Got a shave, a shoe shine, the whole thing.
Oh,
right?
The whole dark. With the guy with the blade. The guy that has the blade on the side gives you a nice clean shave.
It's the best. Another one of those dreaded 11 o'clock games. Michigan hosting Michigan State. Wolverines have finally gotten right. They've rushed the ball better their last couple of wins. They're laying 14. Sparty's a disaster. I mean, they blew a 28-3 lead to Illinois at home last weekend. So good for the Illini. They're on bye this week. But Michigan State's got issues right now.
Let me tell you something. Ever since I said Illinois is a stay away, they've covered and looked like Alabama, for God's sake.
Yeah.
I mean, I cannot believe what they did last week. Lovie Smith eventually gets it right. You know what I mean? And the beautiful thing about Lovie during the bye week, he can go to some department store and play Santa Claus with the beard.
That's
it's
right.
A beautiful
it's
thing. Make some extra money. Lovie in a Santa Claus outfit down there in Champaign, record-breaking, my friend.
It's amazing. He's finally got it going in the right direction. That beard is incredible, too. They're on bye this week.
He did the same thing with the Bears. He did the same thing. Give him a little time. He didn't get time at Tampa. He got time here, and he got time with the Bears. And you know what? The proof's in the pudding.
It's starting to pay off for Illinois, being patient. You're right. Service Academy game for Notre Dame. Notre Dame hosting Navy for so many years. Navy could never get a win. They've been so much more competitive, though, the service academies in general. Irish just laying about a touchdown. I think I saw it went out to maybe 7.5. Navy, we know what they can do. They run the ball. 9th best scoring offense in the country. Top 30 in yards per game and the number one rushing offense in the land with about 360 yards per game. They've outgained their opponents by like nearly 1,200 yards this season. So, I don't know, if you're feeling frisky, maybe look at Navy getting just over a touchdown this weekend.
I took Notre Dame on Bears Barroom. I had 3 college picks. That's one of them.
Okay.
I won't tell you what the other two is because the podcast is out.
Got it.
I did the charting. The system gave me Notre Dame.
Okay.
I'm giving that out to everybody. It doesn't count as a pick here. It counts as a pick that I took on another platform. I've been doing well on all my platforms. I'm winning, but I just want to keep everything organized and straight with what I got. Believe me, folks, that's who I'm taking. I bet my picks, okay?
Okay.
So, you know what? That's why I got one shoe on right now, period.
That's right, yes. That's why B took the laces off of all the shoes.
I buy loafers automatically.
Good guy, good thinking.
Because the laces are going to cost extra.
That's brilliant. All right, when we come back, our guy, Jimmy, the Galloping Jim Miller from Hawthorne. Our best plays are around the corner, so don't go anywhere. With Mike North, I'm Carmen DeFalco. We're the Odds Couple on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Mike North and Carmen DeFalco are the Odds Couple. From two guys who know a good bet when they see one. And who've seen a few of those good bets go bad.
No.
The Odds Couple, only on ESPN 1000.
Entering the home stretch here on the Odds Couple, Mike North, Carmen DeFalco, this Friday night and every Friday night, talking sports, gambling with you. Hit us up on Twitter. Mike is at North to North. I'm at Carmen DeFalco. Our best plays are coming up, so don't miss those. We're picking at about a 64% clip or so during the NFL, during the football season, college and pro. So it's been very, very good. And we also have our guy, Jim Miller.
Jimmy!
The Galloping Gent. He's our guy from Hawthorne Racecourse with some ponies for the weekend and more thoroughbred racing this weekend at Hawthorne. And as Jimmy told us early in the year, too, and we talked about the December, when you get into November and December, when you get into the thoroughbred meet, the horses love this kind of weather. Not too cold, but just about right for them this weekend. Right, Jimmy?
Yeah, and I'll tell you guys, this is perfect weather for them. The last thing you really want to deal with is a lot of heat. So when it's a little bit cooler, they much rather prefer it. Racing's been really good this meet, a lot of full fields, and it's been a lot of value, so that's a good thing too, boys.
Nice. So what are we looking at for this weekend?
Well, we had a good weekend last weekend, got a couple winners home, so let's see if we can do it again. We're going to look at Saturday's card. Start with the second race, the 3-horse Silent Fame. This is a horse that should be able to rate just off the pace and run on late. The trainer, Eduardo Rodriguez, having a great meet thus far, so I think Silent Fame rates close and rallies late. Race number 3, we go right back to another Eduardo Rodriguez trainee, this one with the 5, V-Man. V-Man really took to this Hawthorne track in that last out. Didn't seem to like the poly track during the summer. Ran great here on the dirt surface. And V-Man, horse that, again, should be able to rate close and run on late. And then we have a stake race for the sixth race, the Lightning Jet Handicap. And you look to the one, Richie's in the House. This is from Arlington, the leading trainer, Larry Ravelli's barn. Gets the inside, has a lot of speed, and should be a decent value. And if the inside's good, Richie's in the House is a horse that should go right to the rail and take him all the way around. So those are the three we're going to look to on the Saturday card.
Race number two, the three horse. Race number three, the five horse. Race number six, the one horse. And you said the sixth race was a stakes race. Does that usually mean the horses are better in those races, Jimmy?
Yeah, these are some of the top Illinois bred sprinters in this race, so really a nice field. You have horses that are graded stakes place horses nationally running here at Hawthorne, but this is probably our best stakes race that we've seen thus far in the meet.
Wow, great. And what time does racing, so what time is the first post tomorrow?
Yeah, 3:10 p.m. for the first post. The stakes going to go about 5:30, so a nice afternoon of racing. Watch the college football early, and then go right on after that to the racing at Hawthorne.
See, one-stop shop. You can do it all at Hawthorne. Have a great weekend, Jimmy. We'll see you next Friday.
You got it. Good luck, boys.
Thanks, buddy.
Jim
Miller, the Galloping Gent. That's our guy over at Hawthorne. Race two, the three horse. Race three, the five horse. Race six, the one horse. Yeah, and Jimmy had a couple of winners last weekend. So cha-ching, cha-ching. A few other games we didn't talk about here before we get to our best plays. Got an interesting one, a night game in Waco. Game day is going there. Big lean for me here towards the points in Baylor. Hosting Oklahoma, the Bears getting 10.5. I love conference home dogs, night games. I love what Matt Rhule has done at Baylor, how he's turned that program around considering what he took over is incredible. Baylor's 9-0, and Matt Rhule in his career is 28-12 against the number as a dog of 3 or more points. So some really good trends in favor of the Baylor Bears, I think, this weekend, Mike.
Let me ask you something. Are the Selman brothers back at Oklahoma?
I don't think so.
Is Bosworth back?
I don't think so.
I don't get this line. I'm with you. I'm sorry. If I go down, I go down. I mean, Baylor. I mean, are you kidding me? Right? I mean, they're playing Oklahoma. Is Switzer there?
No.
I mean, I don't understand what happened here. What's going on? I mean, I think this is a trap. I think people will take Oklahoma because of the name, because it's Oklahoma. You know, but when there's big games... A big game's available when it comes to Oklahoma. Yo, they get you your Heisman Trophy winners, but when there's a big game, sometimes they lose them. I would take Baylor.
I like Baylor here for sure. Nice heavy lean on that one. Any basketball for the weekend that you like, Mike?
Listen, last week I took two Friday games. Then I had to wait till Monday to lose. I'm never doing that again.
It's a pain.
Okay, I'm an NFL guy. I made my bones, Carmen. From I got on this station, which by the way is bigger than Tiger's comeback. Okay, nobody thought that was ever going to happen. North at ESPN, and I did it because I stuck to the basics. I got away from the basics last week. I'm betting the New Orleans Pelicans without Zion because the system gave it to me. I'm NFL heavy this week, my friend.
I like it. All right. Let's jump in. Let's talk about our best plays of the weekend. What do we like, buddy?
Well, you know, as you know, this morning or this afternoon, and why would you? Don't ever miss Yurko and Carm. I don't care if they step from 12 to 2. Come on now. And at 1:45 on Friday, a little bit of spice, if you will.
That's right.
I took the San Francisco 49ers on the money line. I took the 49ers on the money line, and I'm going to do the same thing with the Rams against the Chicago Bears. That's one of my picks. So I got the 49ers money line and the Rams money line. I'm taking them. I just think the Bears going out there are going to I don't think they're that good this year. I think the Rams are better. I think that McVay will figure out a way, but I'm not sure if they can cover, so I'm taking them on the money line.
All right, I like it. One of my plays, we kind of teased this earlier, college football in the Big Ten, the Minnesota game. Minnesota is at Iowa. Now, Minnesota was one of my best plays last week. They not only covered, they won outright. I'm going with the Hawkeyes laying the 3. I'm going to go with the sort of traditional trap letdown game here. It's just, I think, going to be tough for P.J. Fleck to get his guys going again after that great win, that amazing scene on the field afterwards where it seemed like everybody in the stadium was on the field. And we got to remember, for all of Iowa's problems offensively, and they're hot garbage most of the time, that defense is still great. Top 15 in the nation in yards per game, yards per play. Minnesota had lost 13 straight games against ranked opponents until last Saturday's win. I don't think the Gophers are going to go on the road to Kinnick where it's tough to play and do it in back-to-back games. So I like the Hawkeyes laying 3.
Yeah, and you've been on a roll. And last week, let me just give you credit. Did you take the Virginia Tech game?
I did, yes. They won outright.
That was an
Yeah.
That was an excellent pick. In fact, that was one of your best picks of the year, and you've had a ton of them, Connor.
Thank you, my friend.
You're welcome. And I got Detroit playing of the Dallas Cowboys. I don't care who's quarterbacking. Dallas looks so damn good.
Yeah.
But the system gave me Detroit at home getting 3.5. Now, remember, folks, I am the messenger. And that's me. I take responsibility for these picks with the system that I have. I haven't lost in about 3 years in the NFL. I'm back to the bare bones of the NFL, and they gave me Detroit overwhelmingly, plus the 3.5. I think people will jump on Dallas, and I see trends that go the other way.
Going the other way, okay. So I've got a 3-point favorite that I'm playing, and I've also got a 2.5, 3-point underdog that I like. I'm going to go with Auburn at home hosting Georgia. I know the importance of this game for Georgia, but the trends are too good here for a War Eagle. Gus Malzahn is 10-0 straight up in his career with extra time to prepare for a conference opponent. Auburn's two losses, let's remember, are by a combined 14 points at LSU and at Florida. They're 4-0 at home straight up against they're 4-0 straight up at home this year. They're 3-1 against the number. I like them getting the 2.5, the 3 points.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Why do they have two names?
I don't know. That's a
Tigers,
great question.
War Eagles, right? I mean, they can't even make up their mind.
They can't. They're confused. Somebody once explained, I think, that the War Eagle thing is like an ode to some military history at Auburn or something like that. I don't know at all specifically. The Auburn fans will go nuts listening to us because they'll explain the whole thing. But, yeah, I always think that, too. Do we call them the Tigers or do we call them War Eagle? I just call them War Eagle.
Well, you know, there was a name that you never thought you'd be able to say again, and it's a pleasure for me because I've won with them this year, and they're back in the system. Yes, this is unbelievable. I charted this game. I take this game with confidence, of, I guess, my second year in seventh grade. Okay? I think I got a chance.
Who is
okay?
it?
Washington Redskins -2.
Oh, boy.
Over the New York Jets, ladies and gentlemen. So I got Washington.
Wow.
I got -2. I got Detroit +3.5, which I think will be 4 by then. I got the money line on San Francisco, and I have the money line on the Rams. National Football League, my friend.
Love it. Go in NFL. Do what you do best. Washington was good to you a couple times early in the year, too.
Yep.
All right.
Now, you got so far Iowa and Auburn, right?
I've got Iowa and Auburn. We gave you a bunch of heavy leans, too. Mike and I both really lean heavily towards the Vikings laying the 10. Borderline, you could even call it a best play. I mean, I really like Baylor. I think Baylor getting the points at home. I'm giving out a bunch of college games, but I really like Baylor at home this weekend, too. So,
you're going to take Iowa, Auburn, and Baylor, or are you just going to say lean for Baylor?
I'll take Baylor. I feel good about it. I'm going
to
go with it as a best play.
You're like Lou Gehrig. You're like Gehrig right now. 3-for-4, 2-for-3, 3-for-3. You can't worry about it. The bang, boom, pow.
It's a lot of action out there. Let's hope we do well. Otherwise, Mike and I, like he always says, we're going to be at the hardware store looking for wood and the screws to build the gallows.
Can I tell you something? I went in last week, asked if they had a glue gun. They go, for what? I go, I just want to glue my feet to the cement and have the zero weather come in.
Oh,
that's
God. All right, Mikey, have a great weekend. Happy wagering.
You too, pal.
Thanks to everybody that contributed each and every week here on the Odds Couple. Midway, Jeff Meller. We got Artie Bersheim. We got
Jeffy.
Adam Delavitt, Jeff Meller,
Get
Eric
up.
Ostrowski. Well done, everybody. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
and
guys.
We'll see you again next Friday. For Mike North, I'm Carmen DeFalco. Enjoy the rest of the night and the weekend. We'll talk to you next week on ESPN 1000.